Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Gwyn Sheltimer, my co-host Felicity Sidnell-Reed, and our guest this week, Patricia Calder. Each week at this time, we visit with authors, editors, or publishers who have regional or local connections. We hope to find out a little about their lives and what prompts them to write. We give them an opportunity to read some of their work for us, and we're very pleased to have Patricia, or Pat as she is most usually known to her friends, for a return visit with us today. Born into a family of eight prolific authors, Patricia Calder started writing at the age 11 in a Hilroy notebook, which she carried on field adventures. Always a lover of stories, she has taught literature, journalism, and creative writing in high schools, community colleges, and at York University. When she retired as head of the English department, she was the driving force behind the school newspaper and literary magazine. Since devoting herself full-time to writing, 10 of her short stories and creative non-fiction pieces have been published, and early in 2015 she released her novel Roadblock. Since then, Pat has written and illustrated with her photographs an account of her visit to Sable Island, and now one about her visit to the spirit bears of the Great Rainforest. Today we want to discuss her latest book, her career as a photographer, and the photography contest she is running for the Spirit of the Hills Festival of the Arts in the fall. So Pat, tell us about your latest book and the adventures you had while you were taking photos for it.
My latest book is a picture and story book about the ecosystem of the Great Bear Rainforest. The Great Bear Rainforest is a tiny corner of northwest corner of British Columbia, and there are 400 spirit bears in this small location. A spirit bear is a white bear that is genetically a black bear. It's white because it has a double recessive gene for white fur. And they're very revered by the native people, and they just seem to glow in the rainforest. The rainforest is all gleaming with wet, and when a spirit bear comes down the stream or up the stream, the light just seems to glow like a halo on the spirit bears. And the First Nations people, the Gitgat Nation, who own this territory, have a legend that when the raven, the creator, saw what happened during the Ice Age, she made a promise that never again would the earth be covered with ice. And the symbol of this promise is the white bear, that one bear in every 10 would be born white.
And that's what the picture book is going to be about?
Yes.
So is it a children's story of that legend, or is it a photographic study of the spirit bears?
It's a photographic study, but it's not a children's book, but children would enjoy reading it. Mm-hmm. It's a book for all ages.
Cool. Do you have plans to photograph other bears other than the spirit bears? For instance, have you been to Churchill yet? The grizzlies up there?
I had plans to go to Churchill, but as you know, the railroad was drowned, and it has only just been reinstated. There was a big controversy about whether it was the responsibility of the states or Canada to rebuild the railroad. So it's finally been rebuilt with a contract with the indigenous people of that area. So the road is open to go to Churchill now. But I wouldn't have to go to Churchill. I could go to Aardvark, which is another village where there are lots of spirit bears, so lots of polar bears, sorry.
Mm-hmm. So you seem to have quite a fascination with bears. Why is it so important to you to photograph these particular creatures?
Bears are highly intelligent. Even though they sleep for 7 months of the year.
I like that. I want to be a bear.
they are fascinating to watch because they lumber along and they're very slow and so on. But when you really study what they do and how they contribute to the earth, it's quite fascinating.
Hmm.
We didn't see any of them running. I mean, there were no roads where we were in the Great Bear Rainforest. But they, when they're fishing, they just lumber along very slowly, examining the water, and then all of a sudden they plunge mm-hmm. on a fish.
Amazing. Now, you took some photographs of the landscape on the Yukon Highway. So will you do a separate book of those photos?
I had a wonderful opportunity. After the Great Bear Rainforest, I rented a car and drove up into the Yukon and spent about 2 weeks up there, 2.5 weeks. I just drove up into the Yukon every day, drove back to the motel at night, and then I drive up again the next day. Just the weather was phenomenal.
Oh,
it was fall.
We're lucky.
Yeah, it was fall. The colors of the leaves were just gorgeous. Not so much reds, but gold everywhere, just gold. And the glacial rivers with that turquoise water just standing out. I was stopping every 5 minutes. I couldn't make any progress.
That was progress. I can hear the artist view in your photographer's eye coming out in what you're saying. You know, with the colors and the. And you described something else as the light was like a halo, and I'm thinking,
yes.
Oh yeah, you're a photographer, all right. You can all these things hit you, right?
Well, I couldn't stand to travel with anyone else because I have to stop when I see something and it would drive someone else crazy.
That's okay. We all need time alone anyway.
Yeah.
Now, talking of photography, you're one of the exhibitors at the Spark Festival this year. So tell us about that.
Okay. The Spark Festival has just finished. It's the dream of founder Robert Boudreau, who is a member of Spirit of the Hills. And he started 7 years ago. There are now about 70 photographers who participate in 40 different venues.
Wow.
In Peterborough, Warkworth, Campbellford, and they could be in Cobourg if there were just venues that would agree to host a photographer. So it's like an artist tour. You know, you have a map with all the venues on it, and you just hop about from one to the other. They even have a bicycle tour, and my particular display was at a restaurant, so people would come, sit down, have breakfast or lunch, and enjoy the photography.
Wonderful. Sounds great.
Yeah.
Are certain photographers in certain venues just for like a day or for a month? Or
no, it would be for the whole month of April.
Right. Yeah.
That's the tradition of Spark Photo Festival is.
So it's even better than a tour, really, because you don't have to do it all on one day. You could kind of scout it out and do a little something several times in the month.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's what people do. People come from many different communities all surrounding the area. They even come from Toronto because it's a big photographic celebration.
And it happens every April?
Yes.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, well, we'll have to put that on the calendar for next year.
Yes.
Okay. Well, as you know, we normally have a reading segment now. So you're a photographer for sure, but you also have words in your photography books. And maybe you could read to us and tell us a little about the photographs that go with the words.
Okay. Deep in the Great Bear Rainforest lives the rare and endangered spirit bear, or Kermode, which is the First Nations name for the spirit bear. Only 400 exist in the world, and so they are a protected species. They are all located in this remote northwest corner of British Columbia. Their eyes, nose, claws, and paw pads are brown, so they are not albino, as many people think. They are genetically black bears with a double recessive gene for white fur. During the fall, they have to add enough weight to sustain their bodies through the 7-month hibernation. This spirit bear is named Warrior for the scar across her nose. She probably scratched herself swatting away flies in spring. This bear is Ma'a, or grandmother. She's about 20 years old. She has had those raccoon eyes since she was young. Warrior has been fishing in this pond for a long time, even though it is teeming with salmon. The challenge is to catch one with her huge claws. This bear is named Strawberry, distinctive for the unusual color of her fur, which is kind of a pinkish tone. Black bears, too, are fishing. Salmon return to the river of their birth to spawn or lay their eggs. Bears, too, return to the good fishing spots. It is essential that the salmon stock remain strong for the bears. And I just want to interject here a story that happened to me. We would go from the village where we were staying, Hartley Bay, to Gribble Island, and then we would hike up a stream bed into the rainforest till the guides showed us a place by the riverbed where we could all, there were 12 of us, where we could all sit down and have a good view with our cameras. I was sitting on a lovely grassy knoll, and along comes a black bear with a salmon, and she wants to go on the grassy bank behind me to eat her salmon, which is probably her favorite spot. The guide is saying to me, "Don't move, don't move, don't move." I'm sitting there terrified, and this black bear comes, and I kid you not, lays down her salmon behind me. I'm looking over my shoulder. The guide is still saying, "Don't move." And the bear proceeds to eat her salmon. The guide comes up to the bear with his cell phone saying, "Nice bear, nice bear, nice bear." Gets closer and closer until the bear licks the cell phone. True story.
Wow.
Happened to me.
And I notice in your book, the taglines say things like, you know, this is Strawberry or this is
Warrior
and so on. So are all the bears named?
The spirit bears are named. The black bears not so much because they're harder to distinguish one mm-hmm. from another. The spirit bears all have these distinctive marks. Ma'a is the grandmother, so she's very slow moving and she can't find enough fish for herself. She can't catch them anymore, so the other bears leave partly eaten fish for her.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
What lovely story.
You see, such a community. These bears are fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Pat. Thanks for telling us all about that, and now we'll take a short break.